set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life these days. And today I'm going to be talking about the rogue Christian, and I'll be getting into that in a couple minutes. But first, I want to go into a few news articles and surveys. And so the first one is from Vantage Point, and it's about AI and AI relationships. And what they found out was, and this was from a survey of more than 1,000 people, and what they came up with was that more than half of Americans claim to have some kind of relationship with an AI system. And I had a hard time buying into that, because who in the heck wants to be sitting there having a relationship with your phone? I mean, that just sounds crazy to me. And an inanimate object. But this is what they came up with. But what was really disturbing was that 28% of adults claim to have at least one intimate or romantic relationship with an AI boyfriend or an AI girlfriend, meaning that there's sexual content or sexual play going on between the person and their phone or their desktop computer. And it boggles my mind when I read that, because there is no love there. There is no comfort there. But what a lot of people say is, well, you know, my phone or AI just doesn't criticize me, or it says whatever I program it to do, it to whatever extent sexually I want to hear whatever things, so it's the perfect companion. And no, it's not. It's a big lie. And this is one reason, I'm sure, that we've seen such a drop off in dating, because not only with the AI boyfriends and girlfriends, but social media, people are just checking out and they're spending way too many hours on the online world. And they're fooling themselves that because they know somebody on, you know, on Facebook or X or whatever, that these are pseudo relationships. These are bulletin boards. And yeah, it's good for a number of things, like asking for prayer or sharing some things that minister to people. Sure, it's good for that. So I'm not saying chuck the whole thing, but we're taking it way too far. And the average American today will spend 5 hours a day on their phone. What the heck? When I speak in churches, and sometimes I'm blessed to speak, give a Sunday morning message, and we have our From Porn to Grace conference, or even when counseling, when I'm talking to people, I'll challenge them. You got to spend an hour a day with God every day. Prayer is so critical. And a lot of times what I get is this blank look, like, I ain't got time for that. But the average American will spend more than 700 hours a year watching movies, another 700 hours a year playing video games, and then another 700 hours a year watching TV, whether it's on the phone or desktop or TV, whatever. And that doesn't include going to sporting events or going out to movies or vacations or other entertainment venues. So My friends, we're spending more than 2,000 hours a year in entertainment. And then we're saying we don't have a time for an hour a day with God, which would be, you know, 350 hours a year. So you could pull 350 hours out of your more than 2,000 hours plus of entertainment a year, and you still have plenty of time for all that other stuff. But the problem is we don't understand we're swimming in a culture of entertainment. And when I talk entertainment, I'm including Christian movies in that too. I'm including the Chosen in that too, which, as the director has openly admitted, is 95% made up content, 5% scripture. That's Christian entertainment. And yeah, I know that people have said, well, it's ministered to me, but that's like second or third hand spiritual benefits there. The top things on our list should be prayer and time in words, God. Everything else, nothing comes close. We don't understand what living in a culture of entertainment has done to us and what it's doing to us and what it's doing to our prayer life. I mean, many of you know who Charles Spurgeon is. He was one of the greatest preachers ever in the 1800s, and he talked a lot about how amusements and entertainment were wasting people and wasting time. And I sometimes wondered what happened if he were dropped down in here. But the thing about Spurgeon, when he was running a church, they had prayer meetings that were attended by hundreds going to a prayer meeting, and they were powerful. Here in the U.S., many churches don't have one prayer meeting, and even when they do, many of them don't say a word about them or promote them. Prayer should be right there at the top of our priorities for every church and every believer, because apart from prayer, there's a lot of flesh work going on there. So when you tell me that, hey, I don't have an hour a day to spend with God, unless you're like a young mom or couple with one-year-olds or something like that, and that's a lot. And when you go, you'll spend 3 or 4 hours at a Bronco game, not including maybe travel time. Nah, I don't buy into that. What I would really say is that our priorities are jacked up and we're not who we think we are. If you read through the book of Acts, they were meeting for prayer constantly. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment when we talk about the real Christians. So, next news article, former Idaho pastor sentenced to 12 years for child pornography. A former Nampa pastor, and I won't say his name, was sentenced to up to 17 years in prison Thursday after pleading guilty to charges related to child porn. Every day, my friends, in the U.S., a pastor or a youth pastor or a music minister is being arrested or exposed for child pornography like this, or sexual abuse, or adultery, or pornography, or anything in the sexual arena. It's happening every single day. Next news article, Southwest Florida pastor arrested on child porn charges. This is from the News Press. He, Robert blah blah, 76 years old, was arrested by the sheriff's office on Tuesday after detectives executed a search of his home. Another pastor in Florida going down, getting arrested. What do you think is happening here? It's a spiritual battle, and it's an intense spiritual battle. Somewhere along the line, those men got hooked on pornography, and it went to the point where one day they were somewhere on the internet and they went to a dark place that they never expected to be in. And then evil took an even tighter grip of their life and boom, down they went. This is happening every single day. This should grieve us. Next news article, and this is again in Florida, but a different guy, Florida pastor and a former sheriff's deputy is charged with molesting four girls dozens of times. A West Florida pastor and former sheriff's deputy was arrested and accused of molesting at least four juvenile girls. I won't say his name. The founding pastor of Worship Life Church was arrested, and this was after years of helping men and women. This is so tragic. And, you know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 gives us the reason we don't talk about sex in our churches. And I think it's in the second verse where he says, "You are arrogant and you have not mourned." Arrogant. I don't have this problem in my church. We do verse-by-verse Bible teaching. I don't have this problem in my church. You see how God has blessed us with the big building? Nah, we don't have that problem in our church. "And you have not mourned," Paul says. Who mourns over sin, really? Mourn, brokenhearted. Our hearts should be brokenhearted seeing a rapid-fire binge of stories like this every day, that every day lives are being destroyed. And so when these pastors are arrested or caught or exposed, their life is destroyed. Their family life, their marriage, their spouse is impacted. But it goes a lot further than that, because they had an influence on a church, and it really rocks a church hard when their pastor is exposed like that, or arrested, or it comes out that he had an affair. People don't understand that, hey, pastors do not walk on water, man. The flesh and blood, just like you and me. And they got some serious guns aimed at them. And the spiritual battle against the pastor is intense. And the enemy knows if he can take the pastor down, he can really rock the faith of a lot of people. I had a guy, 26 years old, on a radio show, a guest, a little while ago. And he shared how growing up in two of the churches he attended, both senior pastors were exposed for sexual sin. One, who was 60 years old, had got caught in an affair with a 25-year-old. I'm 63. A 25-year-old would be like being my daughter. But they got, you know, somewhere along the line, they let some ideas and thoughts grow and fester, and then one thing would have led to another, and then boom, they started lighting the candle for a relationship that should not be. And then, you know, Philip Yancey, many of you know Philip Yancey, great writer. I've written some of his books, and not long ago he confessed to a 10 years long an affair while married. He's 75 now. Every day, my friends, this is going on in the church at every single level. We have to open this up. So now I'm going to talk about the rogue Christian. And back in 2020, so after years of working people, we kept seeing the same themes, and it was really alarming me. And what we were seeing was many Christians are isolated. They're alone, they're in bondage and struggling with various sins. But a lot of the time, the very first words we would hear when somebody would call is, "I have no one to talk to." And these are people who have been in the church for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and they're a lot isolated and living the Christian life on their own. I remember one senior pastor flew out to my office for a two-day intensive. And we started meeting. He started sharing. And he had been in bondage to pornography for all of his life. And he told me he shared with one person in his church one time about a struggle with sexual sin. And the guy ripped him. And that was it. He said, I'm not opening this up again with another believer. Not in my church. And so, but he kept going. So 10 years later, After he had his church for 15 years, he eventually resigned. Then he had a massive heart attack, and he realized God was telling him, you can't do this anymore. You got to get help. And that's when he came to us. And it breaks my heart when I see that so many believers, they go to church on Sunday, but they have no real connection with others. And then after working with people, a lot of people know very little about spiritual warfare. They don't understand that a lot of the thoughts cruising through their mind that have to do with shame or condemnation or lies are not coming from them. They're coming from the pit of hell. Many people that we're working with don't have a strong prayer life, and this is probably more so for men than for women. But both sides, we saw struggle with that, but as I mentioned earlier, you got to have a strong prayer life, and we see that the men who recover the fastest and they stay recovered are those with a strong prayer life. And then we keep seeing that people, very few attend prayer meetings, or there isn't a prayer meeting at their church, or it's not mentioned or promoted. But the prayer meeting was at the very top of the priorities of the early church. So if you read through the book of Acts, you will see they began Acts, I think it was 1:14, with 7 days straight of prayer meetings. Some scholars think it was 9 days straight of prayer meetings. And many of you, I'd be willing to bet, don't go to any prayer meetings. And with what we do, we have prayer meetings going out through the week. Our little 8-member team, we have prayer meetings going throughout the week. We'd be dead without it. So in July of 2020, or actually March of 2020, I wrote a book called The Rogue Christian to address these issues and to help equip people in these areas that we find that they're not getting help in. So I'm going to talk to you now about the Rogue's Creed. And before I go any further, when I say a rogue Christian, I don't mean a loner or somebody doing life on their own or a rebel. No way. That you won't find that spirit being exalted in the Bible. This is not what this is about. A rogue Christian is somebody who doesn't go by status quo Christianity, meaning that they live thereby and filter their life through Scripture, not what Christian culture does or says, no matter what anyone else is doing. So we're commanded, Colossians 4, be devoted to prayer. Acts 2:42, they were devoted to fellowship, prayer, teaching. We're not devoted to those three things in the modern church in many cases, to prayer and to fellowship and to teaching. Teaching, yeah, just about every church. I don't know any that isn't, but we're missing out on the prayer, which drives everything. So I'm going to give you what I call the Rogue's Creed now, and it's 7 principles. And 1, rogues go all out in their relationship with God. We have at least 1 hour alone with the Lord every day. We go alone on a retreat once every 4 months to seek God's face and enjoy His presence. So he, passionate love relationship with God, must be at the very top of our priority list. Way above everything else, way above entertainment, way above every job, everything. It's got to come first. And what I meant about going to retreat once every 4 months, Jesus went alone often, and he would binge on prayer for hours. Modern man binges on The Chosen, or they binge on TV shows, but we don't hear many people binging on prayer, and I try and go away alone to a retreat once every 3 to 4 months for 24, 48, 72 hours to do nothing more than seeking God, spending time in prayer, soaking in his presence, and it is amazing. I don't want to go home, not because I don't want to be with my family, but because I've tasted heaven. I've encountered the living God in his presence. Second principle, rogue Christians are prayer warriors. That's got to be right there at the top of, as I've been saying. We put prayer up there in the top, and you cannot have a strong relationship with God without a strong prayer life. I don't care how much Bible knowledge you have. Next, we are doers of God's word, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So if I say I'm a believer and I love God with everything, but I never spend time with praying with him, what does that really say about my relationship with him? A lot of people talk about prayer as a struggle, but think about this for a moment. What if you were to sit down with your wife or your husband, and would you really sit down with them and say, I don't know what to say, and give them a blank look? They would look at you like you were nuts. Like, we got a relationship here. We love each other. What the heck's going on with you? And a lot of times in the church, we try and build crutches around prayer, give people principles. Prayer flows from the heart, my friends. It flows from a love relationship with the living God. And if we, and you know, if we start saying, okay, first you need to give God thanks, then you need to confess your sins, that'd be like going to a meeting with your wife and saying, okay, first I'm going to tell you I'm going to love you, and then I'm going to tell you what I did today, and you got to listen, and she'd look at you like you're a freaking nut job. And that's how we're missing the boat. Prayer comes from the heart. Next, rogues meet with another believer every week for the purpose of encouragement, accountability, support, and prayer. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your sins ongoing. This is not a one-off. This is not a one-and-done. This is something we should be doing once a week with another believer who we can share our struggles with and be honest and open with. You need this. I need this. I do this every week with another brother. We haven't asked ourselves each other the question for years, because now it's expected. We're going to share what our struggles are, what we're going through, marriage, family, everything, and then we pray for each other. Those times of the week are so powerful, but many believers are not doing that, and they're living the Christian life on their own. And on their own, in their own flesh. Fifth, in the Rogue's Creed, we face our sins, hurts, and failures so we might heal and be free of them. We boast of our weaknesses to others so the power of Christ shines through us. And one thing I notice is a lot of Bible teachers, or a lot of teachers, period, in the church, they don't really talk about their weaknesses a whole lot. And sometimes I find myself thinking, maybe I'm a freak because I deal with temptation, and sometimes I get attacked with a lust pull and have to deal with it. And, you know, I have to watch my mouth, and there's temptations to be angry or to judge or to turn to bitterness or pride. Maybe I'm a bigger sinner than these guys because I got a flesh, and I know what that flesh wants to do. So we face our sins, and this is how we can begin to walk free of them, and not by hiding them and pretending that we got it all together. I don't have it all together, my friends. Next, rogue churches are devoted to God's word, fellowship, and prayer. We will expose the hard topics and equip our people to be overcomers. That means we equip them in sexual issues, in spiritual warfare. We show them what these things mean in detail. We help them in the areas they're struggling with in detail, like depression, anxiety, or whatever they're being attacked with. And last, we choose to make our lives count for eternity until the end. Retirement is not an option. Never retire. Pour your life out until the very end. You've got just one life, one shot at it. I've had long COVID for 4.5 years. I'm 63 years old, and I refuse to waste my life to curl up into a ball. There's so many more battles to fight. God, my friends, we're way too beholden to entertainment and the entertainment culture. Pour your life out until the very end. So thank you for joining me. We'll see you next time.
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.